A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another one of our Survivor off-season podcasts. And today, I think we have a fun one for you because I am sitting down here in the studio with a man who has produced 6 seasons of his own Survivor game, that he is the Mark Burnett of LRGs. He's living large. Welcome to the studio, Matt Pavlovich. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. I'm very excited to be here.
Very excited to have you here in the studio. You know, we have been hearing about for years a Survivor Brooklyn that you did. Were the first 4 seasons what you did, they were all Survivor Brooklyn?
Right. And last two have been Survivor Los Angeles.
Survivor Los Angeles. You have just posted recently the beginning of Survivor Brooklyn on YouTube. There are some familiar faces, including Sophie Clark and Andrea Belke are in Survivor Brooklyn, correct?
That is correct. And also season 33, Zeke Smith.
Yes.
Who's just been announced recently as one
of the cast
members.
Dalton Ross had an article that he posted that he talked about 6 people that you have seen in the preview for season 33. Zeke is one of those people. He's a millennial.
Yes, he's one of the millennials.
He's one of the millennials. He played in Survivor Brooklyn as well. And that first episode is up. You just posted it today. It was, for me, this was
total blindside.
I knew you were coming in here today, but I didn't know you were going to drop an episode like that.
Yeah, I actually, I had it ready a few weeks ago, but I was asked by a member of the cast to take it down for a few weeks for undisclosed reasons. And so I put it back up today and am ready to put up, I'm going to try to do one every week for this season.
So this is fun. So we'll post the link to that if people want to keep up with what you're doing. But really, I didn't even know that you were putting the Survivor Brooklyn up and it was going to be going out. We had been talking that you recently had done the 6th season of your LRGs here in Los Angeles. I would love to at some point play in one just to see how fast I'd get voted out again.
I think you would do okay. I think if you played it as like, I'm here to help everybody out and just to have a good
time. Does that work? Does that work?
I mean, we'll see how it works for Sophie and Andrea.
I don't think it works. You know, I don't think the Jimmy Johnson is working in the LRG. I think everybody wants to go big game hunting. I feel like it's more likely to work in real life than in the LRG. Because people, you're not putting any casuals in there. There's no recruiting that goes on in the LRG, right?
Oh, no, definitely there is.
You get recruits?
Yeah.
You find people on the street and it's like, hey, I know you don't know anything about Survivor. Hey, would you like to spend a day playing in a Survivor game?
Oh, absolutely. It's mostly my friends. So it's mostly people that I know or people that know people that I know. So there is definitely the situation where I'm trying to convince one of my friends, you should do this, but they've never seen the show.
That's why I'm glad you're here, because I have so many questions about how this works, because in my mind, I think I probably have a preconceived notion. It's probably nothing like that. So you are basically, you are Mark Burnett, you're Jeff Probst as well.
Yes, I'm Jeff Probst.
You are Lynn Spillman. Mm-hmm. You are John Kierhofer. You are wearing all the hats in one of these games.
Absolutely. I'm editing it. I'm shooting it half the time. I'm pretty much, it's a one-man show. I do generally have a few camera people now that help out, but it's a one-man production for the most part.
Why don't we just start at the beginning of where did you first get the idea to, hey, I want to put on these Survivor games? Because I think a lot of different people have attempted some different version of this. Our mutual friend Miles Nye calls it a homebrew game. And you had this idea. And so where did it start and how did that first one go?
So the very start, and this is kind of considered an unofficial season, was back, I was home for the first...
It's not canon.
Yeah, it's not canon. First Christmas break from college, and I just watched Big Brother season 2 and was really excited to host my own Big Brother game. And I was like, let me see who I can get over here. Mm-hmm. So I invited some people over. We stayed up till like 3, 4 a.m., played Big Brother. This weirdo who drove in from Arkansas ended up winning it. And And I ended up playing in the middle of the game because...
Wait, how did you encounter a weirdo from Arkansas?
And my best friend went to college with him, and I think he had a crush on her. So
okay.
He drove all the way down, and I think that helped him quite a bit that he had done that. But
did he propose at the end, just like in Big Brother 2, the real Big Brother 2?
Oh, no. No, okay. No. I don't think that they speak anymore. But
who, Boogie and Krista?
Yeah. Yeah. but it was very like haphazard. Three or four people quit in the middle. I jumped in and started playing, even though I'd watched
like
all the footage.
A Survivor Nicaragua situation.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess, but it was fun. And the footage is maybe somewhere on someone's like old VHS recording. But that's sort of lost to time. But then roughly 10 years later, I had lived in New York for 10 years and wanted to do something to sort of celebrate my anniversary there and had been a huge Survivor fan from the beginning and thought, why not give it a shot, try it out and host my own thing in Prospect Park.
And what year was that?
That was 2011.
And that's officially canon Survivor Brooklyn. You don't just like Survivor Borneo. You don't call it Survivor Brooklyn 1.
It's just Survivor Brooklyn. Yeah.
Survivor Brooklyn. And when you did this for the first time, was it just for fun or was it a means to an end of this will help me get on Survivor, this will help me work on Survivor, or was it just completely innocent and this will be fun to look at?
I'd say completely fun. I have applied to Survivor, but very last minute. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure if I would really want to be on the show. I would love to work on the show, so if anyone is listening that it would hire me, that would be great.
So that's interesting, because I feel like that most people that do these kind of things are sort of like, feels like that this is on their resume to help them get on the show. That's not really what you're interested in, that you are more interested in working on Survivor than necessarily being a person on Survivor.
I would say that's true. That said, if someone wanted to cast me on Survivor, I would go. I don't know. I don't know how I would do in the elements.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the part that I have no idea.
I hear that.
I haven't been camping for more than two nights in a row, and then it's like, all right, I'm done. I'm ready to go home.
So you did the first Survivor Brooklyn, and is there a prize involved? Is it just for fun? Do people put in money?
So it's a $10 buy-in, and the winner gets roughly $100. Second place gets $30, and third place gets their money back, and then everyone else goes home empty-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And I save anything that's left over, it goes to like production costs.
And was filming it always part of the process?
Yeah, from the beginning, I wanted to have it on film just mostly so that the people who played could watch what happened afterwards. And the first season is very, like, there's a lot of missing footage. The whole first challenge is not even there at all. I didn't think, oh, I should try to film this. I was the only person filming until a couple people got voted out. And then I think the second person voted out started helping me film, and I got a little bit more strategy after that. But for the most part, it's, you know, there's some missing footage and stuff, but it's an interesting game.
So what is the format like to be able to get a whole season of Survivor? And you do it all in one day, right?
Yeah, it's all in one day. It goes somewhere between 9.5 and this last one went 14 hours, which was a very long day.
Mm-hmm.
And the format is that roughly every 30 minutes to an hour, there's a challenge, a tribal council, and somebody goes.
So there's not a lot of camp life.
There's not a ton of camp life. There is for the winning tribe. I think that whoever, especially if a tribe continues winning, they will have a lot more time just to kind of like hang out at camp.
They have downtime.
They have much more downtime.
And is it structured the same way where people are not watching tribal councils that they are not participating in?
Yes. The only difference is that if you have been voted out, you are welcome to stick around and hang out and help film so you can watch everything that's happening.
Yeah. Is there a tribal council set or designated area?
Yes, absolutely. In Brooklyn, in Prospect Park, there was this music pagoda that was very perfect for tribal council. Now, I never officially reserved it. So one year we had a young girl's birthday party. It started sprinkling outside and they moved up to the pagoda. So for two tribal councils, we had that in the background. And that's actually the season that I'm posting right now. So we'll see how those end up going. And at the beach, it was this kind of up over a little hill, and there's all of these like gross birds and things. It was kind of a perfect area. And then this last year in Elysian Park, there was just the perfect spot for it. It was like overlooking Dodger Stadium and just kind of like the right seating, the right little area around the corner to go vote. And there's always a tribal council set.
Okay, so you were just somebody making this Survivor LRG in 2010 or 11?
11.
Okay, 2011.
Yeah.
How does it get to the point where within a couple of years you have people who are actually from the show in Sophie, who's a winner of the show, and people like Andrea is a two-time player of the show, now playing in your games?
So that all came about by someone named Mike Harlow,
who
I met sort of haphazardly.
And who's appeared on the podcast before.
Okay, great. Yes. Yeah, he's quite a character.
Yes.
And he had played in season 3 of Survivor Brooklyn, and then he wanted to play again in season 4, and I do have a lot of returning players, and it was like, sure. And then he was like, could my friend Andrea play? And I was like, oh, sure, realizing that it was Andrea Belkey, and thought that was very exciting. And then Andrea asked if Sophie could play, and I was like, of course, absolutely. That's really fun.
Right.
And so that's kind of how that connection happened.
All right. And Alex Forstenhauser, is he playing also?
He's also in season 4 as well. Yeah.
Another RHAP alumni who I worked with on the Reality Game Masters. Mm-hmm. And so you got this all together. And then what was the reception from the people that were playing in, without spoiling anything, if people want to watch Survivor Brooklyn season 4? To have the Survivor, like, is it a distraction, do you find?
I think that the people that were super fans of the show were very excited that, to show up, and that Sophie and Andrea were suddenly there and that they were getting to play with them. And I think that that was generally the reaction. I think some people who weren't big fans of the show had no idea who they were and just, you know, thought they were cool girls that were into playing Survivor.
Yeah. So when you come up with the sort of structure of the season, how close to what's been established in terms of what a Survivor season look like do you follow, or do you really deviate and really do your own crazy twists on the season?
I am not a huge fan of a lot of crazy twists, so I do stick to the basics. The first season was
basics.
Yeah, I mean, the first season there was one tribe swap, but otherwise was a very straightforward season. I started introducing hidden immunity idols in season 3. Season 4 was my first 3-tribe season. And I would say that this last season sort of followed the structure of Cambodia a bit. 2 tribes, 3 tribes, 2 tribes
okay.
sort of situation, and an advantage was added into the game. So I am, as Survivor is adding things, I'm adding things as well, and occasionally throwing in my own twist on it, but trying not to keep it, like, people want to come and play Survivor as close as it, to Survivor as it can be.
Well, I think that one of the things people probably are interested to know are what are some of the wrinkles that are your own originals that you've added to the game, and do you think there's anything there that Survivor itself could eventually adopt?
I think just the fact, okay, here's one. I think that the something that Survivor could adopt in the 3-tribe seasons that I've done, both tribes that lose go to tribal council.
Ooh.
And I think that if Survivor adopted that, could give more of a feeling of like, we really need to win this as opposed to we just need to not lose this.
Yeah, I do like that. That's very interesting, especially like where you're going to have these double elimination episodes. Although it almost feels like in modern day Survivor where that you're almost like having an 18 or 20 person season that you're baking in that there's going to be 2 medevacs or somebody's going to quit the game. So I feel like that there's not a lot of double elimination episodes. I'm trying to even think the last time that 2 people got voted out in 1 episode. It feels like that is almost like it was like a staple of like the middle era of Survivor, but I'm trying to think of like past the era of heroes versus villains. I can't think of too many times when that's happened.
Yeah, I think it does happen occasionally, maybe in like right after the merge sort of situation where you kind of know.
Yeah,
the next
you know, there was
home,
the era like
Redemption Island.
Fast forwarding a Pagonging, sort of like where Dawn and Whitney, I think, go out in 1 episode. And then also, is it Ozzy and Jim Keith goes out on his own episode, and then Ozzy and Jim go out in 1 episode. So, that they'll do it to yada yada a Pagonging.
But it could be interesting early. I mean, they could just cast more people, you know, put 3 tribes of 7. At the beginning, you know, and then you could do a couple rounds that way.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. Although you're going to then lose a lot of time of getting to know people. But I feel like that it's almost, to me, I really like it in the Cambodia type situation where it's like, okay, 2 tribes, 2 tribes, 2 tribes. And then let's go to have these 3 tribes. And then let's send, you know, Angkor and Bayon both to go to tribal council in 1 episode. And sort of do it that way and really put a lot on the team that has to win that challenge. So that's actually very interesting. So then in terms of like how you are structuring the season, like what sort of things are you finding that really are effective for building the drama? And like, what are the things in terms of looking at Survivor from that perspective that you feel like are really what are the best practices for making a Survivor season?
I think it's just casting people that are going to come to play the hardest that they can play. And I think that when I'm choosing which of my friends that I'm trying to get to play or which new people are being kind of presented to me, it's finding those people that I know are going to go in there and play 110, 120% or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think something that's interesting about my games that's a little different from Survivor and maybe is more like something like The Challenge is that there's always a mix of repeat players and new players. And I don't know that Survivor should necessarily adopt that forever because, you want to get new blood in there. And this last season, actually, I was able to get almost all new players. But yeah, is that kind of like having to figure out how people know each other, who knows each other, that whole sort of snag.
I think that this is a pretty interesting subplot that comes out of this because, as we mentioned, that Zeke, who plays in this Survivor Brooklyn, mm-hmm. goes on to be part of the cast of Survivor 33 right. of the Gen X versus the Millennials. Also, at the same time, we have Tiffany, who's the sister of Vanessa on this Big Brother season, who also just got through an ORG that Audrey Middleton put together, which mm-hmm. is sort of like some sort of like Big Brother offshoot called Sequester. And it's interesting that you have these people who are coming out of these things that now are going into the real games. And I feel like that, at least in the case of somebody like Audrey, who also had been an ORG winner. And Ian Terry recently had talked about this on the Dom and Colin podcast, I believe, where that an ORG or an LRG maybe isn't necessarily the best practice for the real thing, because in this condensed time, you have to, it's all strategy. It's all talking about, game bot, sort of like, okay, what are we doing? And there's not a lot of the relationship building that goes on. And like where we talk about like a Jeremy Collins, it's sort of like, or even, to go back to this past season, why, people liked Michelle, not because she was talking strategy, but right. because they felt like that they could bond with her. And do you find that that's happening in the really condensed version of the game?
I think definitely it is. You're kind of constantly playing the game. So there's no just downtime where you're sitting around trying to get to know each other. Maybe if your tribe's been winning like time after time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you are just playing constantly. And I could definitely see that in Audrey's game. I mean, she came in there expecting the whole thing to be done in a week, I think. Mm-hmm. And having that, all of that downtime, I'm sure, is a completely different thing than what my game is. I think the good thing for my game, for the people playing it at least, is that it does feel less personal. It feels more like game moves. It feels less like you've just invested in this friendship or this real relationship and then been, turned on and betrayed. And I think that people take it a little, some people cry. Occasionally people cry. But for the most part, I think people take it, with a grain of salt. It's like, okay, I'm done.
Okay, as your game has gotten to be a bigger profile game in terms of these LRGs, I mean, I think that this is probably the most widely known. I know also Bob Crowley does one, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I don't know a lot of the specifics of how that operates. But in terms of where people who want to play in these games, are you finding that more and more people are reaching out to you in terms of sending you videos? Like, are you getting more and more submissions of people who are like, I'll come out and play, if just let me be in one of these Survivor games?
I feel like maybe after this podcast that might happen. But yeah. For the most part, not too many. I mean, I did have Ryan Elder played in yes. this last season that I just did this last weekend.
The great Ryan Elder.
The great Ryan Elder. And so that was really cool to have somebody come in as a fan that just wanted to play and that I had not met before. And I'm getting, I guess, a little bit more of that, to where I think there were about 5 people last season that I had not previously met. But
you're going to get to the point where you're going to have almost all people who have already played Survivor who are like, put me out there. I'm going to win Survivor Los Angeles 7. And they're going to start, people are going to like start trying to like the play as sort of like the desperate move of, oh, if I can just win this, then they'll put me back on the show.
hey, that would be great. That would be that would be amazing. I'll take whatever former castaways want to play for the most part, unless I just absolutely did not like them on their season. You know,
yeah,
I'm down.
It's gonna turn into like fantasy camp for people who've already played before. Like they're gonna be just like beating down your door of like, let me on, please, Matt. I'm telling you.
I hope so. It's fun when they play. It's fun to see what changes from their game in the real game and what stays the same, you know, how things are maybe inevitable from time to time.
How ugly does the game get? Because you feel like, oh, it's just for fun. Because that's what I kind of feel like. I think I'd be sort of torn in playing in a game like this. Because one, I'd be like, well, it's just for an afternoon. Mm-hmm. To hell with it. Let me make big moves. Let me come out there and then let me just be, you know, wheeling and dealing and swinging for the fences. But then at the same time, I think I might be a little bit like, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to start like, you know, swearing on my kids to somebody to what end am I going to just like trying to screw people over in a game for $100? So I think I probably would end up just sort of like just going through the motions a little bit. But how intense does it get?
It gets pretty intense, and I think the areas where it gets most intense are people who come into the game as friends, mm-hmm. but make alliances with people that they don't know, and then stick to the alliance with the people that they don't know, and the friends feel very blindsided.
Are you talking about Andrea?
I'm not saying any names. Any
Does
specific
she do
names.
That? Does she do that?
I'm not gonna mention any specific names. But it definitely does happen in season 4.
I think you're gonna say in season 26.
That definitely happens in those returning seasons, and it is the case of like people come in and they're like, we are good friends. We're never gonna see this person again. Why wouldn't you just stick with me?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are really playing hard and trying to win often will say, but this is the alliance. These are the people I think I can beat. This is who I've stuck with from the beginning. And that's when it gets, I think, the most dramatic.
How bitter does it get out there in the LRG? And how close, like, are you prepared? What if a fist fight breaks out?
I've never had a fist fight break out. I think the most bitter that I've had happen, a girl played in the last season, and she somehow got in her head that her being voted out early had to do with sexism. And because in these games, I am going with people that I know, and I'm unable, for the most part, to have a completely even cast. And generally, I have less women play than men. Generally, I have more gay men play than than straight men. And that is just the case of people. That's who I know. And I actually do really reach out and try to get as many women to play as possible. I send private emails out and I'm like, please play the game.
There are, it's a gender imbalance.
There's a gender imbalance. Yeah. So in this case, I think, there were five women out of 10.
Not after 19. Today. Not after today.
Hopefully not. Especially if you are a woman who would like to play in my game, you will have definitely a much better shot just in terms of the people that I know, for whatever reason, they don't want to play as much. And generally how it usually works with the women is that like one or two will go out early and then the rest will go very deep into the game and often win. So that's the case, but she took it personally and, sort of on her way out had a, you know, very explosive thing with her tribe. And then
like an Alicia situation,
almost like an Alicia situation. Yeah, it was not pretty. And I think people in the tribe felt bad to the point where I came to their camp to get them for the next tribal council. And they were like, should we continue with this? And I was like, absolutely. You're continuing with this. And, someone was crying and it was just a very emotional situation. And I hope that, you know, the results of that season have led her to believe that it's not a sexist situation. She just walked away with someone and left four other people there to talk, and that is why she was voted out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard. It's hard for the first couple people who get voted out.
How do you do the confessionals with the people on the show? Because I feel like that unless you have an extensive camera crew with you, I feel like that would be very tough. How are you hosting challenges and sort of like setting up what's going to come next and running off to a tribal council and getting these interviews with the contestants?
So lately what I've been doing is having I have the challenge, and we have like a few camera people covering that. And then immediately after, we follow whatever team loses. The winning team maybe will get one camera on them, but for the most part, we're going after the team that loses and following them however they decide to split up.
How many cameras are out there?
I think I had four.
Okay.
Four going for the most part, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So then once that's happened, and the splitting up part is always very weird. It's always, especially initially, it's like them trying to figure out how to split each other up. And I'm like, you need to talk within the next 10 minutes. So it's not like you can just kind of like naturally let this happen. You have to find a way to do it.
So you're saying that we're going to tribal council,
yeah.
But there's no like, oh, let's go get the water. There's just like, you're just like a group of eight people in the park. And then it's almost like a Survivor Africa type situation where you're all just in this boma together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, there's, you're going off with her, that you're going off with him. What's going on?
Yeah, it's very obvious. It's very obvious who goes off together. And sometimes to keep that from happening, people do things like, I think in season four, they shoot, like they do like ones or twos and go off together. But it always ends up with the people that want to be together end up talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is going off for water. That's definitely a thing that happens. So it, there are
like going off
ways.
To the water fountain,
going off to the water fountain to fill up your water. Yeah, absolutely. And I always keep the water fountain a little far away so that it's like you have to kind of walk away to get that. The first season, you know, first episode, one of the two people who didn't go off to the water fountain got voted out. And of course, you know, they should have all, you know, jumped right in
right.
there.
You never want to be alone.
Never want to be alone.
How do you do the hidden immunity idols?
Okay, yeah. Quickly, the confessional thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing it basically after people would vote at tribal council, I'd send them off to another camera to do a confessional for that whole like episode. And that way I was able to kind of like kill two birds with one stone. Hidden immunity idols. The first season that I did it, I wrapped them up in like brown paper and they were very small and I hid them in trees and nobody found them.
Mm-hmm.
So the second season I was like, all right, I need to be a little bit more obvious with these things. So I made them like, you know, a little bigger and had like some blue ribbon around them, hid them in places that were like not initially like super obvious, but that, you know, it might take a little
mm-hmm.
sleuthing to figure out. And they were found and played in very interesting ways. So from then on, I've just realized I need to kind of mark them some way.
Mm-hmm.
I did in the beach, they were hidden in the sand, but there were little markers to kind of like show you where there might be something.
Mm-hmm.
And since season four, at least two have been found every season. And generally, they are played at a good time.
With clues or without clues?
No clues. Yeah, there are a lot of things that they're just...
I changed Survivor Brooklyn. People are finding idols and not even looking for clues.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's no way of doing certain things, of doing clues, of doing reward challenges. There's just not time. Mm-hmm. When I do Big Brother, I've also hosted Big Brother games. There's not time for veto, which is terrible. You know, I'd love to do a veto. But when you have up to 20 people playing Big Brother and trying to do it over the course of the day, there's just not time to do that many challenges.
Have you considered upping the prize money? Like if you get to the point where more and more people want to play, could you get to the point where, okay, $100 buy-in, you want to play?
I've considered it. If I was trying to do it to make more money, I guess, like, and I was doing it more often, I would have to in order for it to make it like worthwhile for me. But I think that there's something about having a like smaller stakes in that I don't want whoever the first couple people are out to feel like they've just like, they've lost $100. I mean, that's huge. It'll also, for me currently, would be harder to get people if it was any more than $10.
No, I think that's where this is all going. I think that it's like a $10,000 buy-in. Okay.
That would be amazing. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. At that point, I'm sure I would get into some sort of like legal issues with the whole thing. But, you know, who knows?
Maybe Boston Rob still has the rights to Tontine.
Okay. Well, I don't know. What is that?
Nobody does. So I think that, you know, that it'd be crazy. But then you have to worry about, you know, there's a lot of collusion, split the money.
Right.
Somebody's going to get shivved.
I did have a collusion happen in one season.
And what did you do?
Well, I didn't know until afterwards. So it's there's nothing.
Did you ban them?
I scolded them. You know, I definitely scolded them. And it was only two people. And it was people that had been friends beforehand. But I was, it took something away from the winner for me. You know, like I thought that I was like, oh, this is a really great winner. And then knowing that, I was like, okay, maybe not as much as I thought. So I would, yeah, I would discourage that in any future games.
Okay, so you go out there, you play the whole game, then you edit the season. And really, we could go tie this into so many different things that we talk about on the main show.
Yeah.
Do you do winner edit? Do you say, okay, here's my winner, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to try to build the story and really just play up flattering light for the person, or are you just sort of just going with what you have?
A little bit of both. I definitely make sure that the winner is shown. You know, I don't want to have someone that no one knows at the end as the winner. But some seasons, there's just not a lot there. You know, for season one, for instance, there's just not a lot in the way of confessionals. And it's hard to, like, with the winner, I had less stuff to use. But I tried to use everything that I could to make sure that this is someone that at least you know by the end and you could see why they might win. Mm-hmm. But then in later seasons, yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely, season two, I think the winner has, like, a fairly strong winner's edit. And in the rest of the seasons, I think I do that as well.
Now, this season that you just posted the first episode up today for Survivor Brooklyn season four. Seasons yeah. five and six are already in the can,
yeah.
but that Survivor Brooklyn 4 is filmed in 2014, so right?
Yes.
So is it just because that's how long the turnaround time is for one of these, or you've just been busy with your work and things like that?
I've just been busy with other things,
yeah.
and it basically, I'm not a natural editor, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not something I ever did before or probably will ever do for anything else. I learned how to edit in order to edit these episodes. So it's not fun work for me.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think that really the sky is the limit on what you're doing. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's out there who wants to edit something like this might reach out.
That would be great. I would love to hand it over.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the fun part of the work for me. All of that, the camera, the editing. I've done some games where I've started, like I hosted The Mole recently and I was just like, I'm not going to film it.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough work for me just to do all of the online quizzes and everything and just to sort of oversee it. And I was like, it's just not going to be worth it to try to do that. But for these games, I think for me, more like having the camera, having all of that there is more to give people a feeling like this is a real show. This is like being on the show than it is to have like the perfect, you know, sound or lighting. Those are always messy. It's, you know, it's a messy thing to watch.
Do you feel like the one-day format perfectly captures it, or do you feel like that in a perfect world, it should be over a weekend where you sort of have to like actually spend the night outside or something like that?
For me, I think that I like the one-day format. Mm-hmm. I know that there's another one out there. I think it's called Survivor Real Foot, and they've done...
Real Foot?
Yeah. I think that's a place, maybe. And they've done a few seasons, and I know that they do, like, it looks like at least a week where they're, you know, camping and everything. For me, as a fan of the show who would love to be on the show, but, like, the whole camping part of it is not the mm-hmm. highlight... I think
heard that.
Yeah, I think it's the one day format is great. And also just logistically, getting people just to commit one day is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Getting people to commit for a full week, there's no way. I mean, I would have to only get people who were these like super fans who were applying to do this. None of my friends would do it.
So if you have a large number of super fans in the game, do you feel like in terms of the strategy that they're playing, do you feel like that they are coming up with things? Is this almost like some sort of Survivor contestant think tank that you have created here? Like, are the moves, would you say, are they at a higher level than what we're seeing on the actual show because it's a group of people who just know the strategy like nobody's business?
Yeah, I think that you do get a lot of higher level play. And you do get situations where, like, everything that you want to happen sort of happens. Like, in this last season, there were multiple tie votes, and then a lot of strategizing around that. And then a purple rock drawn. You have an advantage played correctly where it actually worked and mm-hmm. changed the vote.
Mm-hmm.
You have two hidden immunity idols played at exactly the right time, and a tie vote at the final tribal council, which I won't say how that goes, but I will say that was it's Survivor first. You know, something that's never actually happened on the show. Final 3-3-3-2 vote,
and you were prepared for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't do what they would do on the show, which I maybe heard something, but I don't know if I can say. But I did do what I thought.
You're holding out on us. People are going nuts.
I heard about it from someone who works on the show, so I think I can't say.
Okay.
But I did do what I thought would be the appropriate thing to do in that situation, which I think I can say, which I had the third place person vote for the winner.
Okay. I think the bigger news is that that's not what the production would do, potentially.
Potentially that's not what the production would do. I don't know. Okay. And I don't know if this person knows for sure or not, but I won't say what it is.
Okay. So in terms of the challenges, this is something that I'm sure has to go through your head that, you know, we have all these situations where people get medevaced from the game and you have your beast mode cowboy, you know, survivor has to go through, you know, all this insurance and everything like that. So like how grueling can you make the challenges without being concerned that, I don't know how much we can tax people.
Because it's only a day and because I sort of like very heavily emphasize, you know, drink a lot of water, wear a lot of sunscreen, you know, I feel like I've said it multiple times. I don't feel like my friends are particularly litigious. So I trust that they won't sue me and do make things fairly grueling. Yeah, I had in this last season a section of a challenge where people had to climb up a mountain, like a small mountain, but a mountain that was treacherous. And one guy did get his legs fairly bruised up. I'm not exactly sure how.
You had a medevac in six seasons of Survivor, Brooklyn, and Los Angeles?
I have not had a medevac. I've had a quit. I've had a couple quits, and I've had I've had an injury that I was worried about. There was a relay challenge where someone was carrying someone else on his back and tripped, and the guy on his back fell and hit his head.
Eee.
And that was definitely the most concerned, where I was like, oh, this could be bad. But it was fine. It all ended up being okay. And that was the worst injury that I've had. I have a couple stubbed toes or stubbed fingers, little bumps on the head here and there. I do a sumo challenge with pillows, and that I'm always like a little worried, but I sort of trust that people aren't going to kill each other.
Wow. And that's until you start getting these returning players in there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then you mentioned that you have a couple of quits. How do these quits work out? Is it somebody quits like sort of like a Lindsay in Survivor Kagiyan? Hey, you voted out my friends. Screw you. I can't stay here without punching somebody, so I'm leaving. Or is it just like, yeah, I didn't know it was going to be this late, so I got to go.
I've had two official quits that weren't just a situation where the tribe was going to tribal council and someone said, okay, you can vote me out. That I consider a little different. But one was in that same situation with the girl who was very upset. One of her friends felt so bad that he quit. And he actually would have been the next person voted out anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's like the I'm leaving because this is that you guys are sexist.
Yeah,
that's I'm not voting. Nobody's voting me out. I am leaving of my own will. I probably would have won.
Right.
If it wasn't for your sexist actions, I would have been the winner this season.
I think it's more that he realized that this game is not something that he wanted to be a part of. I think it's like the backstabbing and the voting out, it just got to him in a very personal place, and he got very emotionally upset and wanted to
quit. It's a good move. It's a good move in the LRG to sort of, instead of getting voted out, to take the stand.
I wouldn't encourage that, Rob. I don't want people to start quitting
left
and right.
Good PR. It's good PR. You know, I once walked off an LRG because, there was, I didn't like the way that my tribe was acting. You get killed on the real show for that.
Oh, sure. I'm not encouraging.
But I feel like in Brooklyn, I think you could probably, people would say, you would get some street cred for that.
Maybe. I don't know. Again,
I took a stand in an LRG today.
Yeah, let's not encourage quitting. the other situation was this last game. Someone just, her shift at work fell apart. Like she had to work her shift at work, and it was like, there's nothing we could do. She had already almost lost her car because she lost her keys and had lost her phone.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point it was just like, obviously this is not the best day for you and you have to work. So, and she would have been a great player. I was bummed.
That's interesting about, you mentioned phones. Do you let the players keep their phones on them?
So sometimes we just run out of space or battery or whatever on phones, and we need to just grab someone's phone. So I let them keep their phones on them, but tell them to turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's like texting each other, you know, strategy stuff yet. I could potentially in the future see like taking everyone's phones up, especially having this lost phone situation. I think in order to keep that from happening, I could see like, you know, keeping them all in a car somewhere.
Now you got
to
shut it down. And then at a reward challenge, one team could get their phones back.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And then we'd have like everyone just on their phones for the next bit. I think people are involved enough.
One person can get their phone back
and check on all the news, all their Facebook feeds.
Do you have a loved one's visit?
No, that would be great. That would be great. I had a friend volunteer to do a Zingbot at this last one, which is a Big Brother thing, but I thought would be really funny. I was like, yeah, sure.
And you did it?
He backed out. He went to the beach instead, but he's kind of, I would say like one of the stars of the series. Mm-hmm. Our most returning player and someone I would happily have back on the season. He actually was in the running, I think, to be on Survivor Token Teens, and probably if he hadn't worked for CBS, potentially could have stolen Stephen Fishback's spot.
Oh, he's no.
Very similar
time. Darkest timeline.
Yeah, it could be a completely different timeline. But he worked for CBS at the time and was unable to be on the show.
So do you do a Big Brother every year also?
That's not necessarily every year. I've done three of them. Mm-hmm. I've also played in a couple because other friends have watched my things or played in my things and wanted to host. And that's been really great to get to play as well. Big Brother, yeah, I do at my house. I have a head of household room and a confessional room. And it's the same sort of situation where it's, you know, very quick, moves quickly. So, Big Brother, Survivor, and The Mole.
How long does a Big Brother game last?
It's about the same. It's like 10 hours, 10, 11 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the Big Brother, I think I'd be more interested in playing the Big Brother than the Survivor. Because I kind of feel like that Big Brother, I'd be like, okay, it's different. And it's not like, I feel like there wouldn't be as much big game hunting in terms of the... You know, I feel like that in Survivor, I feel like that people could just gang up on you. But I kind of feel like that Big Brother, a lot of things have to not go your way. That the head of household has to have it out for you. Then the majority of the people there have to all want to get you out of the house. So I kind of feel like that you could just be with a group like, let's just get Rob out.
Yeah. And I think Big Brother is, I've never played Survivor. I've only played Big Brother. And I do feel like it is... In a way, it seems like a little easier as a big threat to kind of like just get the head of household on your side every time.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you don't get nominated, you're not going to go
out.
But there are a lot more twists and turns along the way.
Pandora's Box?
The game that I played in, so many twists. So many
twists. The twistiest LRG ever?
Yes, absolutely. the Russell Hantz of my games.
Wait, there's a Russell Hantz of your
games?
There's
a Russell Hantz of my games, for sure. He decided to host his own Big Brother game, which was at my house.
So the Willie Hantz of your games?
No, he's the Russell Hantz for sure. If Russell Hantz had played both Survivor and Big Brother,
yes.
He's absolutely the Russell Hantz. He would hate that I'm saying this, but it's true. So he hosted a game at my house and there were twists like, two HOHs, were crowned. They each nominated two people and then we had to vote out, either this person's nominees or both of this person's nominees.
Okay.
And they, of course, didn't think that would happen, so put the two people that they wanted out on opposite sides, making a very difficult decision for the house, like which one to go with. And then in the final seven, the HOH nominated four people, and the other two voted between two of the, like...
Pairs?
Between those pairs, yeah.
Did the HOH always put up two people?
In general, it was just a regular HOH sort of situation. Yeah. But in this case, it was giving a lot of power to the final seven HOH and leaving the rest of us in a very precarious situation.
Okay, so where do you go from here with the Survivor LRG game? Now, you have one in the can from last year. You have one you just filmed. So what's the plan moving forward?
So the plan moving forward, probably will wait another year before doing another one. It's very taxing, both just like time-wise and physically. It's exhausting. But I have an idea for a new game, which I'm currently calling like Winners versus Losers. And it would be sort of a Survivor-esque situation. But in this game, there would be a winning tribe and a losing tribe. And the losers would all be trying to get on the winning tribe the whole game. And the winning tribe would grow and then shrink. And basically...
So this is a format for a Survivor season?
This is a format for, I guess, like a different sort of game.
It's not Survivor.
It wouldn't be Survivor. There would be votes. There would be voting out of the winning tribe and into the winning tribe. And there would be challenges to get that there. But it's kind of like trying to develop like a new game.
Do you cast these seasons with a theme in mind, like a Millennials versus Gen X?
I've tried, but sometimes it falls apart because the cast doesn't. So I was going to do for the beach season, The idea was that, as I said, I get less women, but I did, I wanted to do women versus straight men versus gay men.
Oh,
and that was, the cast was all set. I had it in the bag, and then too many women and straight men dropped out, and I just was unable to fill those spots with other women and other straight men. So I had to just mix up the tribes more randomly.
Yeah. Boy, that could have been it could have been something.
Yeah, I think I could definitely do a returning players versus newbies season at this point pretty easily.
Fans versus favorites?
Yeah, fans versus favorites for sure. I think that would be the most logical way to go.
Okay, so are all of your previous seasons available on YouTube?
Yeah, so seasons 1 through 3 of Survivor and seasons 1 and 2 of Big Brother are on YouTube.
Have there been any breakout stars from the first 3 seasons?
Yeah, I would say...
Is there a Rupert of Survivor Brooklyn?
I think that Ryan Williams is probably the Rupert of Survivor Brooklyn. I think he's probably more beloved than Rupert.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, he's probably the breakout star.
Could you give us a tease? I'm going to embed the video for Survivor Brooklyn Episode 1. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a tease about the season of Survivor Brooklyn if fans want to check it out?
Yeah, so for Survivor 4, let's see... I'd say what it comes down to in season 4, it starts out with the fall of a sort of a great tribe, you know. I won't say more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a battle of two wills.
And Will Sims too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two wills. No, two players that you may recognize or may not sort of are somewhat controlling the game from either side, and it's a situation of like which will win out.
Very interesting. Sophie is pushing me to podcast it also.
That would be amazing.
I gotta see what the response is. I'm intrigued at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're not going to do like a couple hour long podcast. Sure.
You don't know me then.
Yeah, no, that's true. I've listened to quite a few.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But if people want to get in touch with you about any of the things that we talked about playing in a future season or ideas or anything like that, what's the best way for people to reach you?
I'm going to throw my email out there. I think that's probably the easiest way. And
yeah,
if I get too many, I'll find some way of filtering.
Okay. What is it?
It's Pavlovich.Matt. So my last name dot my first name at gmail.com.
Okay. You want to just spell that for people?
Yeah. It's Pavlovich.Matt@gmail.com. And then to find the YouTube page, you can also search Matt Pavlovich or Survivor Brooklyn, or I think Pavlo Schmuck is my name on there, which I came up with before, sort of like thinking about how silly that was. So that's Pavlovschmuck.
And then for you, in terms of your career, mm-hmm. Where's your perfect landing spot for you?
So I'm between two things. Either I would love to be, following the Cochrane sort of situation of writing for a half hour comedy,
mm-hmm.
Or producing challenges for competitive reality TV shows. And that seems to be the place where I'm getting more traction right now. So
yes. Two paths in front of you.
Two paths in front of me. Not sure which one is going to take off, but would be happy with either. And the bit of challenge producing that I've gotten to do so far has been really great.
Yeah. Well, look, I think that the sitcom thing is that's a tough nut to crack unless you're Cochrane. But the challenge producing, I think, is very, very, very interesting, and who knows where it leads to.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And especially with your pedigree of what you have, like, I feel like that it really could open up a lot of doors in terms of like your resume piece that you have out there, which very few other people have.
Oh, for sure. I think it is. I mean, that is how I've sort of gotten the jobs that I've gotten so far, started with this, with just being like, that's my only experience. But, it does show that I've managed to come up with these games and stuff. Oh, and I did want to tell people who, if you do want to watch, kind of the order to watch them, and because you have these returning players and sort of stories are built out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you start watching Survivor season 1 and it's just too messy for you, you could skip it, skip ahead, kind of
so
see what
happens. So you suggest people go back and watch the first 3 seasons before Survivor Brooklyn?
If you want to super fan it, if you want to like really go all the way with
Can
it.
Can I just jump right in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can jump right in.
I'll
absolutely
be able to follow it.
Anyone can jump right in and be able to follow it for sure. But if you want to know the whole story of the people that are returning to the game, then if you go back, I would do season 1 of Survivor again, if that's too whatever, you could skip to season one of Big Brother. And that is a pretty, I think, entertaining season to watch. And then season two of Survivor, season two of Big Brother, season three of Survivor.
So you want people to watch two seasons of Big Brother. You're going to lose a lot of these Survivor fans trying to get them to watch two seasons of Big Brother.
What I'm saying is if you start watching it and you're not into it, just skip ahead and watch the Sophie and Andrea
Zeke season. Some people to watch the real Big Brother.
All right, fine. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying if you want the full story, if you want to go in and know every, relationship and why these people might be turning against these people, that's going to give you the fullest story. But
yeah,
if you're watching for Sophie and Andrea, then watch the season because that's the one that they're on.
Yeah. All right. This cast, everybody, I was on Survivor Brooklyn Reddit today and everybody really, they love the cast. Everybody's very pumped up about it.
It's a great cast. It's a really, really interesting cast. You've got Mike Harlow in there. He's kind of a great villain. You've got Zeke who, everyone's going to be curious about, like, how is he going to be on the real show?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a former winner playing. You have... you've got
and the not Sophie?
Infamous and also Sophie.
Yeah.
You've got Ryan Williams, the Rupert of these seasons. You have like, it's a very good group and I think the gameplay is very interesting.
I'm very much looking forward to checking it out. Now, are there spoilers out there? I don't want to be spoiled.
I think there are spoilers out there.
Okay.
Just don't listen to any prior episodes of Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good. Luckily, I don't remember anything that happened on any previous episodes of Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's the beauty of doing 1,700 podcasts, that I remember about three of them. So, yeah. Very, very good. Looking forward to checking it all out. You have a Twitter?
I do. It's MJ Pav. It's also my Instagram if you want to follow me. I'm not super active on Twitter, but, why not?
Okay. And then you have a hashtag for this?
Hashtag. Maybe hashtag Brooklyn Rupert.
All right. Hashtag Brooklyn Rupert or Russell Hance of Big Brother. But Russell Hance wants to be on Big Brother. I'm telling you that you don't even have to try that hard. You could get Russell Hance and probably any Hance. You could do a whole season
of all Hances. Okay, I don't know how interested I am in that, but I'd love to get Russell. I think Russell would be great.
Oh, I think that I think you could get him easily.
Yeah.
I think he would be very apt to play in any LRG.
Okay, I mean, he's got his reputation on the line. I don't know how he'd do, but I would love to have him on. I would absolutely love to have him on.
I just want to play with a bunch of fans that know what they're doing, not like Steve and Ralph and David Murphy. Yeah, so it would be very fun. Very fun. That would be very fun to see. Must-see TV. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. I thought this was very fun to do a deep dive into this stuff. So looking forward to reading your comments, plus much more Big Brother along the way as we explore week two of Big Brother 18, not the LRG, the real Big Brother 18, all this week here on the podcast and the Survivor off-season podcast are coming. Also, we still got about 40 or so tickets left for RehabCon coming to Chicago this summer. So if you are in the Chicago area and you want to come out for that, go to RehabCon.com, RehabCon.com. Thanks so much. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.